Perhaps you know someone with AMD, but what is it and why does it matter? The back part of the eye's interior is where light hits and gets sent to the brain to bring sight. The center of that back part of the eye is called the macula and is where we see what's directly in front of us. The macula allows us to see a stoplight when we drive a car, or read a text on our phone, or recognize the faces of friends and family. Age-related macular degeneration, or AMD, is when the macula has changed adversely over time, causing central vision loss. Wet AMD involves bleeding, dry AMD does not. Today, we hear from someone learning to live with macular degeneration who is not only surviving, but thriving.
To inform and inspire, I am Stephen Rick, and this is Sight and Vision, exploring what it means to be seen as visually impaired and gaining relative perspective through the personal stories of those who see clearly the need for understanding. Welcome, everyone. Today, our guest is an advocate, artist, mentor, and octogenarian whose story is our pleasure to hear today, my mom, Rosemary. Welcome, and thanks for being here, Mom.
Hi, son.
So Mom, let's start at the beginning. In your own words, where does your story with visual impairment begin, please?
Where? Living up north and coming down to a shower many years ago. And before I left, I went into the bathroom to make sure my makeup was all fine. Mm-hmm. And I looked in the mirror, and my left eye was nothing but little check marks. Mm-hmm. But I didn't pay no attention. I thought, it's probably maybe something else. And it kind of went away when I got down, but the next day it was bad. So I went to a local eye doctor up there, and he said I was having something major. And then I really got concerned. So we came down to Saginaw, and I met a doctor that used laser. And so I found out I had to be completely covered, and it was supposed to stop the dry eye getting better. It won't get anywhere.
Were you diagnosed then at that time? Is that what happened?
Okay. Yep. He told me that, you know, they won't go away, but I can have these treatments for a long time. I think I had it for quite a few years.
And which eye was that then?
My left eye.
And that was, did he tell you what it was? Was it?
Yeah, he said it was macular.
Macular degeneration.
But I didn't know what macular meant anyway.
What happened after that? Did the situation remain the same, or was there changes then?
No, it stayed that way for a couple of years with the treatments, but then they went to shots in the eye.
And your right eye?
And the right eye, I had the left eye a long time before the right eye went with the blood. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I had wet macular. I didn't understand it. I didn't see different. I didn't have the little squares. So I went to my regular appointment, and he said, "You have got wet macular degeneration."
So it's dry in the left eye,
and then right
wet
on the right.
And the right.
In the right, yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, you've had these two diagnoses then. How much time was there in between each diagnosis for each eye?
I think probably about 10 years.
Okay.
I had to dry for about the longest.
All right.
And now it's been the rest of my life, 20 some years.
In that 10 years between the dry and the wet diagnosis, did that give you time to like transition or prepare?
No.
Okay.
No. With the dry, I still could drive. But then when I got the wet, I almost hit a group of workers on the road and I thought it was time to quit.
Driving. Was that a big deal for you?
I think I was been driving since I was 14, and I loved to drive. I giving up driving was the biggest thing I could have done in my life, because I loved to drive. I was involved in all kinds of working on cars and going to the drag strips and stuff. We were just very into cars, and to give it up was really, really, really hard for me.
Well, continuing with your past, did you share the news immediately with family, or like in your dry diagnosis and then the wet diagnosis, did you share the news immediately, or were you carrying that weight alone? Was it a private matter?
No, I told my husband, and my family lived so far away, they really didn't, understand what I had. None of my family had macular degeneration that bad for both eyes, and they didn't understand it, and they thought I was still okay.
Mm-hmm. Mentally, how did that affect you mentally, like psychologically or emotionally? How did that vision loss and then response to you know, how did that affect you, like, mentally?
It was really, really bad. I sometimes think I could have gone with a nervous breakdown because it was powerful. Mm-hmm. To be reliable. You couldn't read things. You couldn't do things. I was locked out of everything in my life. Mm-hmm. It was probably the worst thing that could have happened to me, was losing both vision. I could tolerate the one, but mm-hmm. both was very, very, very hard.
And then you said lose, not driving anymore.
Yeah. And giving up. Yeah. Almost everything. I mean, it was hard to read anything, mm-hmm. to do anything. If I went to the library, I couldn't go there and just go down an aisle. I had to take somebody with me because I can't read it.
So there were changes to your daily life, like as far as driving or reading. Were there other really dramatic, as dramatic?
Yeah, because my whole life completely changed. I had a hard time cooking. I have a hard time walking, mm-hmm. Outdoors, meeting people. They don't recognize me. I don't recognize them. I can't see a hole in the ground. If the sidewalk goes down or up, I can't see that. I've already fallen probably 4 times, turning too fast, things like that. I can't go to a place by myself that requires somebody you have to talk to or do something, like have a class of some sort. Mm-hmm. I have to have somebody help me read the question or whatever. I can't do anything by myself completely.
How about the people around you? How did your vision loss affect the change or affect or change people around you?
A lot of them felt sorry for me, and I don't like that.
So this was after the second eye diagnosis.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, second one. That really completely messed me up. Because it wasn't just a little bit of sight, it's no sight.
Were you afraid? Were you afraid about losing your sight? Was it a scary thing?
I was.
What do you think? Was there one thing that you most feared, or something that was scarier than anything else?
That I could hurt myself somehow, being someplace, not seeing a car coming or something, or going through when you get out of the car and go to the grocery store and you walk by all these cars, I can't see if one's got their blinkers on or the red light backing up. Mm-hmm. So I could easily get hit by a car.
Yeah, I sometimes can't make out the car even coming because of the color.
Yeah,
so
right.
If it's a bright sunny day.
Yep. Can't see him.
In those early days after diagnosis, especially the both eyes, was there someone who helped you through that period, or something that helped you after those initial diagnoses?
I think it was probably the doctor would tell me, my eye doctor was probably very good as far as telling me how to go on with life. Mm-hmm. And, but other than that, my family didn't seem to get too upset that I had this. I don't think they understand the severity of it. Mm-hmm. We didn't have anybody in our family that was visually impaired. I was the first one, so they didn't know how to accept it. They didn't know how to treat me.
How did that feel? I mean, what was that like?
That was weird. Mm-hmm. It was really weird because they assumed I could see going down a couple of steps or something. Mm-hmm. Now, you, Rosie, go first. No, Mom, mm-hmm. or whoever, mm-hmm. I can't do that. Or go turn on the stove. I can't see the numbers on the button to turn the stove on. But it didn't sink into them that I could not see. And I didn't know how to explain it or how to tell them or how to talk to them, because it was something new to these people.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking now at your current situation, coming back from that time when you were diagnosed and you were struggling at the beginning to the present life now, has anything good happened because of this vision loss? I mean, those initial trying times you're saying were really difficult. They were challenging. No one really understood, you know, what your condition was or, you know, what you were going through. Has that changed?
Yep, it really is. The last couple of years, I've had to do a lot of change in my life. With my husband passing away, I was alone. I had to do a lot of stuff on my own. I had to sell my home alone. I had to make up, write trust people, signing paperwork and stuff. And I made up my mind that I wasn't going to be a sad case and people feel sorry for me. Mm-hmm. I want to do it myself. And I think I'm doing pretty good.
Would you say, has it felt like life before vision loss and life after vision loss? Or is this, or do you see it sort of like chapters of the same storybook of your life?
It's a little bit the same, mm-hmm. because I'm not so severe that I can see the trees or the colors, or I can still do some stuff with a shopping is kind of hard if I have to read a can, but at the same time, mm-hmm. I can go to the store. So it's just good that I get to the store, and it's bad because I can't see some of the stuff, but it works out okay.
It sounds like you're pretty comfortable. Like, so do you feel like you're pretty comfortable with your vision loss, or have you gotten more comfortable with it?
I think I got more comfortable. Every day I think is getting a little bit better for me. I'm understanding it more.
Is that important?
Yes, it is, because I don't want to just fade away or not do things. I still love to quilt. I don't have any problems quilting. So of course, I can't use black fabric or dark fabric, but I still can do sewing. It's all lit up in my room like a big stadium because of the bright, the light. So I figure if I can do that, I still can do other things.
Mm-hmm. Still have purpose.
Still have a reason to keep on going. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that sometimes. You can still live a rich, full life, and I think, oh, what does that mean? Rich, full life. Do you think? would you agree with that? Have you ever heard this? People tell you, you can still live a rich, full life.
But I think it sort of means that you don't have to feel sorry for yourself or not, I don't know, give up on life or something. I still enjoy going to functions, even if I can't see everything going on and stuff. Mm-hmm. I never used to do a lot of things because I was limited to driving. Now I live in a community where there's buses. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm doing better, and I really love myself right now. Love my vision.
So it's possible to enjoy life.
If you're not doing it, you're feeling sorry for yourself. You're not going to get nowhere.
It really sounds like you've come a long way from those early days.
A lot.
Has this journey or this transition to visual impairment, because you were born sighted, fully sighted, a whole life of sight. Has it given you new perspective? Has it made you a wiser person or something like that?
Yes. I think that I appreciate a lot of things that I took for granted, different things. Mm-hmm. It's hard to pick one item, but it was just like a shot in the arm that, oh my God, I've got something now I have to deal with. And it's not a fun one, or it's not a good one. And you're going to have to change everything in your life. Mm-hmm. Even go and take a shower. I have to, there are so many different things. But I truly think I've come a long way, and I am very, very happy with my life today.
Are you still learning? Is it a continuous process?
That doesn't stop. That does not stop. I was watching the dog for a couple of years, and he was black. So if he went away from me when I was taking him for a walk with dark spot, I'd lose him. Mm-hmm. If he went into under a tree or whatever, and I think, mm-hmm. God, come on, Joe, where are you? Mm-hmm. So
some things you have to learn.
Yeah,
I guess, right.
Yeah, you still have to teach yourself. Yeah, mm-hmm. right. And being at my age, being older, mm-hmm. is not much easier either, because you're dealing with a lot with your old age. Besides that,
Let's get into the aging, because you're an octogenarian. Even though you don't sound like it, to learn new things. Because of your visual impairment, you have to learn new skills. You have to learn new ways of doing the same old things. Has that sort of kept you young at heart in some way. I mean, you're continuing to learn new things. Do you think that that has sort of kept you learning and able to learn new things and interested in learning new things?
Yeah. And being my age, you know, 84, I never thought I would be this healthy. Mm-hmm. I've had arthritis all my life also. Mm-hmm. So I haven't dealt with just one problem. I've had a couple problems. So in a way, I think I'm happier now being 84 and being able to do what I am at 84.
Hmm. Is there anything you're hoping to learn? Like now that you have this energy, you're like, oh, you know, I'm going to, is there something you think like, oh, you know what? I can still learn this. Is there something that you're thinking about wanting to learn or that, you know, with this confidence that you feel, is there something that sort of, or is it returning to something that you love?
No, you know, I keep thinking of taking courses. The Blind Association has, you know, I can take classes.
Okay.
And I did one already, and I enjoyed that. And I think I'd like to do that, not because I want to be an A student or anything, mm-hmm. just I'm learning stuff and learning how to take tests or just learn something new.
Mm-hmm.
Just learn something new.
Do you feel wiser in your years now that you...
Yeah, okay. I do.
And I know this is speaking with you previously. I know one of your least favorite expressions, the golden years. Do you think this is all helping these golden years to shine? Or what's your take on that? And we can't use profanity on air, so if you
darn,
could.
That's my highlight. My highlight. I worked in a bar. I know how to talk.
Do the golden years still shine?
I hate that term because it's so stupid. But I could probably say stainless steel might work or something, but I'm happy where I am at my age. I'm living longer than my parents and my grandparents, and I got two great kids, a super good son and a great daughter, and they were there for me. I'd be lost without them.
Well, how about friends? How about social circles? Do you find yourself looking for or traveling in different social circles, different friends?
Well, I live in a neighborhood of seniors, and I have a couple of very good older people that have been in the same type timeline that I was in. So we connect with things about happened in the 40s or 50s or our lives. Meeting people. It's hard to deal with. Oh, and I'm really good with people when I go to store stuff and I ask people. That's one thing I find with the public. Mm-hmm. I can ask them to find me pork and beans. You know, and if I say, well, I don't know what aisle you're talking about, they walk with me. I've had them with little kids pushing a cart, helping this lady. So I'm happy with my life.
Well, you talked about, we touched on aging and your visual impairment, and you think, did your visual impairment sort of, does that help you in understanding how to manage the aging process, or does the aging process, you know, and what you're learning as you get older, help you manage your visual impairment? Does that make sense?
I think sort of. Yeah, I think so a little bit. Yeah, they do. They work hand in hand, I think. Yeah.
What about your life when you were fully sighted before the diagnosis? Do you think what you learned as a sighted person, does that help you now in your living and how you live as a visually impaired person? Do you draw on that experience, do you think?
A little bit, because there's a lot of different things when you're younger that you can do and that you can't when you're older. And being having another thing to deal with, my arthritis, I'm double dipping. Mm. So,
and I guess my question is, did anything you learn when you were sighted sort of contribute or help you in any way when you're impairment?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've had a friend that was born blind. She was amazing. Right. So, yeah.
Sometimes as a blind or visually impaired person, I speak as a visually impaired person. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost being perceived as a kind of icon or ambassador for all visually impaired people. And I do not represent all visually impaired people. Do you ever get that from other people, like this feeling like, oh, you're blind? Well, what is that like? What do blind people like? Or what do blind people think? Or Do you ever get those kinds of questions or feel?
Only one time somebody wanted to see what it was like, and I didn't have a pair of glasses with the little dots in the center to show them on what you do see, what's left to see. But that's it.
Is that helpful? Do you think that's helpful to let people?
I think so. I think people should know where people glasses. That are have vision problems. I don't think there's enough out there that people know what we go through. You know, how hard it is. It's you know, nobody laughs or anything like that, but nobody understands when I have to walk with a cane or I can't see the menu at a restaurant. You know, that's
or walking across the street.
Walking across the street.
Terrifying. It can be terrifying.
It is, because you can't see the cars.
Yeah, looking at the pictures, wearing those glasses, that give you an indication of what that particular visual impairment's like, or just wearing a blindfold, right?
Yeah, I think that they should show more people when they ask you that stupid question. I think you should go right back and say, okay, come to my house and I'm going to fix your eyes so you can't see. You tell me go to the bathroom.
Do you get a lot of stupid questions though?
Sometimes. Oh, sometimes. Not all the time.
Well, yeah. To the cynics who say that, oh, the glass is half empty. Your life can never be as good as your life with sight. Do you think that's true? What do you say to that? That someone would say, oh, your life is never going to be as good as it was
no,
with sight.
No, they're wrong. They're wrong.
Why do you think so?
I think the people that should know something like that are young people. Teenagers and that young people should know what people with vision problems are or do or how they survive.
On that positive note, positive change. Have you made deliberately made a positive change because of your visual impairment?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I've learned to appreciate a lot more things that I took for granted. You know, I do miss driving. That's the biggest thing in my life. Was giving up my driving.
And in your daily life, did you make any positive change to say, well, even though I'm visually impaired, I'm going to do this now? Or
yeah, I do that. Yeah. I do that a lot. It's hard to walk on grass. So I thought one day I'm going to take my cane and go across my backyard to the walkway it's hills and a whole, but I took my cane and I decided I was going to go across that and be comfortable doing it. I'm not going to do it all the time, but I wanted to make sure I could. For any kind of reason.
How about technology? What's your opinion of the technology generally? Using technology, what's your opinion?
I haven't had enough of it yet. I'm at my age. I don't think that these organizations will help the younger people. Actually, the younger people should be helped first, I think. And I don't know how much that type of stuff could help me at my age. It's hard for me to understand a computer. But I do think I'd like to see something more with going out and being more comfortable without feeling like I'm standing out in the crowd.
Like participation.
Yeah.
How do you define yourself? Do you see yourself as like a visually impaired person, or do you see yourself as just a different version of the same old Rosemary? Does that make sense, that question?
Yeah, I kind of think I'm my old self because I'm not so severe. And I laugh at myself many times. So you can't do anything else. I mean, this is what my life is going to be. So I take one day at a time. And
yeah, the first time I walked into a door, it was not funny. But now I've learned to laugh at myself and friends who do the same thing. Is there something that you found yourself recently laughing at yourself? Like, oh, my God, I can't believe I just did that again.
Most of the time, it's making something to drink.
Okay.
It's like chocolate drinks or something or different drinks. You either put too much or put not enough of sugar or not enough something in it. And you're thinking, why does it taste so funny? Or you can't see the label on what you're drinking and you think, oh, it's just a drink of Coke or something. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was root beer or something else like that. But yeah, there are times I've laughed at myself. I do hate to go into a restaurant, though, and can't read a menu. And I have to have my kids read the menu for me, what's on it. And that gets frustrating because there's a lot of different foods I won't try or can't try. So that's frustrating.
Looking to the future now, looking at this last segment, looking forward, you've talked about what you're learning. You've gone to the, I think it was like a living skills training. at the Bureau of Services for Blind Persons, or BSBP.
Oh, yeah.
So do you think that's helpful or important, that kind of that formal vocational training or living skills training?
My girlfriend and I went, and I learned so much in that building. Those people are so knowledgeable. They're so helpful. And I learned so much in each of these classes I took. It was just, they wanted me to come back and stay for a month, which I would have done, but I was moving at the time. But that place was unbelievably a godsend.
Is that something you'd recommend, like fathers who are?
In a minute. Mm. Because these people are so devoted and they're so patient. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't laugh at you when you do something or if you're not using your cane right. And they'll tell you not to tell somebody, hey, you got to turn left or right. I mean, there's so many things I learned on a week that was unbelievable. Games, how to survive, how to cook.
I love the kitchen skills.
Yeah.
Kitchen skills. Those are
exactly.
There's actually a lot more to it than you'd think. And there's a lot of different ways you can accomplish things.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
There's tricks. How to play games.
Exactly. Yeah.
How to play a game.
Well, what other advice for those who are new to vision loss, what kind of advice would you give to them about, you know, the first few steps or how to go forward? I mean, generally, is there something you would say?
Just don't give up. Don't, you know, continue fighting for whatever. I mean, just don't give up. Life's too short to just, you know, keep going. Just keep going. Mm-hmm. Don't ever give up.
Hmm. Misunderstandings too. Are there like messages or misunderstandings that you experience that, you know, about visual impairment, do you think that needs to be communicated to those who are unfamiliar with it? Like a lot of people, like you said, a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of those things you think?
A lot of people ask me that, you know, how do you see or how do you survive? Mm-hmm. I don't know what the answer is that to exactly, really. It's hard. That's a hard one for me. I don't think I know for sure.
Yeah, as far as like other misunderstandings or just misconceptions, say like about how people might interpret you or what the assumptions they make with you. Do you experience that a lot? Like people treating you a different way or assuming different things or any of that, or maybe
once
not?
Once you tell them, like when I go to the grocery store, once I tell somebody I have a vision problem, mm-hmm. the first thing they say, oh, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. I hate to hear that. You don't have to be sorry for me, you know? Right. And then they'll say, well, you know, since you can't see, can I go along with you? And what else are you looking for? I said, no, I just needed the beans or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that gets frustrating. And I know they mean well. People mean well. They don't know how to talk to a person with vision problems mm-hmm. or any kind of handicap maybe. But they don't realize how hard it is that you're even trying to do it on your own without mm-hmm. having them make you feel like you're stupid or, oh, honey, you know, get real, you know. That's about it.
How about your future? You said generally you've come a long way. How about your future? Are you happy about your future, looking forward?
Yes, I am. I really am. I've taken on my life all by myself. I've got a daughter that's very, very, very helpful. I would be without her. She's a social worker, so that helps. And I have a son that is just the superest person. He's there as much as he can. He's always there for me.
Thanks, Mom.
I have my kids. They are my why I do what I do, because I want to still be a good parent. Mm-hmm. And working hard or determined to be by myself, that I can do things, that I don't have to rely on them for everything. Mm-hmm. Is what I want.
Do you think it's going to get easier? Do you think the road ahead is more difficult, bumpy, or will it be smoother and easier?
I don't think so. I think at this point in my life, being as I have the home I bought by myself, mm-hmm. I'm setting it up by myself. No, I think it's going to just stay the way or better.
How about one word? Is there one word to describe your future?
Awesome. It's awesome. Everything is awesome to me. I use that word a lot. And I don't think I'm going to go backwards at all. I think I'm going to go forward. Even if it got worse or my arthritis got worse, that's life.
Do you think talking about issues like related to visual impairment on a talk show like this, like Sight and Vision, do you think it can help to move the needle or like facilitate understanding in any way.
Oh, this is awesome. This is awesome. I think it should be on major stations. I think the average person should know how people with disabilities survive or how they do it. How do they do it? How do they, you know, somebody could ask me, how do I vacuum my rug? You know, I think they think because you're blind or something, you can't do it. I think the public is way behind learning about people with disabilities, vision, any of them, hearing, whatever. But especially vision, because that's most everybody's born with vision most of the time. And they don't understand at all. They haven't got a clue. And they have to be, talk to people like me or the gentleman that we had before who was awesome. I think we have more people out there that should share their stories so that people say, oh my gosh, that listen to that. Or, you know, I really think this is a great, great idea. It really is. It's been needed a long time.
Excuse me. You made reference to a previous episode with our guest, Bill Chapman.
He was amazing. Okay. I mean, look how he was, had his vision a long time and then bingo, he did it. I mean, he's funny. It was a great listening to him, and more people should hear him. They should hear his story.
How about you? And when you heard those stories, how did that make you feel?
It makes you feel good because it's out there. It's out there.
Is it good to know, or is it necessary to have other people?
I think people kind of think, well, I don't have anybody in my head that's blind or anything. You never know when a child could be born that way, or a school kid, or some child that's a teenager that gets into a car accident or at a game. He could be blind overnight, and you don't have no clue. But if you listen to the people like myself and this gentleman before, and more people can talk about it, get out there so that we're all prepared for this. It could happen to you. Nobody should feel so comfortable that there's not a chance that you're either going to have it yourself or you're going to know somebody that's going to have it, and they need knowledge like this program idea.
Thanks. That's really nice thing to say about the program, actually.
It is. It's awesome.
Is there anything else you'd like to say that you haven't already mentioned, actually, Mom?
The biggest thing in my life was not being able to drive and go to the drag strip and drive a truck. I just love driving. That was my biggie. That was the biggest thing for my loss. And it's stupid that there's other things I should have been sorry about.
What about those autonomous vehicles, the self-driving cars? Do you think that's a thing? Do you think there's...
I don't know if they'll be in my life, but if they did, I'd buy one. Because then I could say, go to the store, do this, do that. The bus line is only a certain amount. You can't go over the counter lines.
The route doesn't go there.
Right.
Well, thanks, Mom. Thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks, son. Doing a beautiful job, baby.
Thanks, Mom. No bias there. and thank you, everyone out there. What do you see when you can't? I am Stephen Rick, and this has been Sight and Vision.